Auburn Hoops lands a big basketball commitment. We're going to dive a little bit into this plane incident again, and let's preview this Kent State matchup. Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops podcast. It's Kyle Rush, Zepp Jasper, and we're ready to get after it and have a really good time. Auburn just landed a big commitment, their second commitment of the basketball class, in Caden Magwood, four-star guard, combo guard. We're going to talk a little again. We're going to dive into this plane thing. I got so many questions to ask you as far as how you guys, you know, that's a tight fit in those planes. Like, I, now that I've seen some pictures, I can see how if you don't like each other, how some stuff can go down. And then we're going to look at the Kent State matchup. Before we get started, let's give a shout out to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. If you got your retirement, you got your 401k, you got all this stuff going, I'm sure, if you're planning ahead, working towards the future, working towards retirement. But how do you know it's performing at its optimal level? How do you know you're not paying, or how do you know you're paying, how do you know you're not paying fees that you don't have to pay? How do you know that you're taking advantage of everything you need to be taking advantage of? Give them a shout. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Tell them we're Eagle. Tell them we sent you. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. I know he's fired up about Auburn basketball. Zepp Jasper, Auburn lands Caden Magwood. You called it weeks ago that this kid was going to be an Auburn Tiger. Really a similar type player to Hyde Pettiford, an explosive smaller guard, can do a little bit of all everything, can shoot really well. He can finish. He's got ups. He can do a little bit of everything. Tell us what you think about Caden Magwood and what kind of how big of an addition this is to this class, this high school class.
It's going to be a great addition. I think of Caden Magwood, like you just said, one of the Tahad Pettiford type-like game. He's one of those guys, maybe like 6'2", 6'1", but he's an elite scorer. He does everything on the court the right way. I wouldn't say he had the jig Tahad Pettiford got, but he's more simple. He gets straight to the point. And, you know, when I was at Auburn maybe a month ago, I was in there when he was watching film with BP. And I could see his playing style fit in BP's system. So I think it was the perfect opportunity for him to commit to Auburn and play for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers.
So, Zepp, he had a game tonight. Or, I'm sorry, when you're listening to this, it's on Wednesday, okay? Mm-hmm. He committed on Tuesday, and he had a game Tuesday night. You know what his stat line was? His first game as a committed Auburn Tiger. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
31 points, mm-hmm. 8 of 16 from 3, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, and he hit a walk-off game-winning 3. The man was fired up. The man was fired up to be a Tiger.
He was fired up. I love it. I love it. On your commitment date?
Yeah, exactly. Going off on your commitment date. Hey, so you got two high school commitments, and both of these dudes are buckets. You got Simon Walker, who can fill it up from three, a two guard, 6'4"-ish combo guard. I wouldn't say combo guard. He's probably more of a true two. Then you got Caden Magwood, who's another bucket. He can finish at the rim and shoot threes. And Auburn may be closing in on another commitment here soon, a little bit of a bigger guy, and that's Sebastian Williams-Adams, a high four-star power forward. I think he's from Texas. He was at the game, at the Houston game, and I think they really blew the doors off of him there. I wouldn't be shocked to see him pull the trigger here in just a little bit.
As we speak, we talked about him. Maybe like the second or third show.
Yeah.
I would guess he would pull the trigger after that Houston game. You know, when you're a player, you're getting recruited, those type of things really open your eyes. It really shows that the Auburn program is one of the best programs in college basketball. You know, which a lot of people see with their own eyes, but us being ranked number 5, I feel like we should be ranked higher.
Yeah.
But you know, With that type of caliber player, him being a 4-star, him being a fit in this type of system, I think we're going to land him. Yeah. I think we got a high percentage chance to land him. I think he will fit perfect in the system to play in Bruce Pearl's system.
Oh, for sure. 6'8", 230. You've got two guards coming in, so this is a good. You're losing a bunch of dudes. You're losing a bunch of your big guys. This will be a good replacement to play that. Maybe that bouncy four can kind of run the floor a little bit, play a little bit of inside and out. I like this kid's game. I like this kid's film. And again, Houston, Texas, he was there to watch us put the whooping on Houston in person. And I think we made an impact. I wouldn't be, you know, they have like those things they call it, like silent commitments. I think he'd probably be considered a silent commitment. He's probably getting his graphic ready to go, kind of like Caden did for quite a while. But hey, the high school, I think they're maybe looking to add one more, maybe have four high school guys, and then they'll probably have to go get like six transfers because they're just losing so many guys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this is a great start, Simon Walker, Caden Magwood, probably looking to add Sebastian Williams Adams here pretty soon. Who's that fourth guy going to be? We'll have to see how that plays out. And then obviously the portal is going to be wild because you have a lot of rebuilding to do. And that's obviously a good place to go. So obviously recruiting is still going really, really well. Bruce still doing his thing. He's very selective, and I think when he kind of locks in on a guy, he goes and gets them. So fun stuff there on the recruiting end. Now let's have some fun. Okay. I got so many questions, Zep, about this horseplay. Let's call it. Well, that's what they started off calling it, horseplay. This whole incident, like, all right. So I saw some pictures. Okay. And the plane's not that big. Okay. I've never been in a fight on the ground, Zep. I can't imagine rolling around, getting physical in an airplane. But those as tight quarters, I guess I can kind of see if you got beef with somebody, I could kind of see it happen. Like, how does something like that happen? And how do you keep your focus and then go and knock off basically the number one team in the country in KenPom in Houston?
Well, it's actually pretty funny. The plane actually isn't that big.
Yeah.
It's actually super small and super tight. So I couldn't believe those guys got into that altercation, which, you know, as basketball brothers, you're going to get an altercation. But it's certain places in time you get an altercation.
Yeah, like, but not 100,000 feet in the air. It's probably not
100,000 feet in the air. I guess they want the plane to go down. Like, I don't understand. But like I said, I would never thought in a million years that would have happened. That's probably been the first time that's happened in years. You probably wouldn't hear an NBA team
ever.
No one. I never heard no one did nothing like that. But
never.
I was pretty shocked.
Hey, you're mad. Hey, how mad are you if that happens? I'm about to fight you in the air. I'm so mad. We're about to get after it in the air. That's just, I just can't, I've never been at that level of anger before.
That's super angry. That means something is going on, because ain't no way you in the air. If you were super smart, you're at least going to wait and say, okay, I'm going to wait till I get off this plane. I don't know if the 80, I don't know if certain people was on there, but you had important people on that plane.
Sure.
And it was like, they didn't care who was on the plane. They didn't care if the freaking president was on the plane. They say it was going down. It was going to be potatoes and potato salad.
Yeah, but everywhere.
But luckily, we got the win. We came out. We made one thing I did love about this joke. You know, I seen everything on the media. Auburn going to lose just because of the plane fight. But those boys celebrated with the plain gesture, playing around, went in the locker room, got on live and say, I guess we need to have another plane fight.
That's what happens when you lock some dogs up in a plane. That's what happens. They're going to fight. I mean, the ability for you guys, I think, I don't know if it was your class, your year when it was the Peacocks, like it was, and then it was like the crane kick thing, like the ability for you guys to create a meme, the basketball team, and then Auburn Twitter on top of it is uncanny. Like, so it's going to be horses for horseplay and airplanes on Twitter from now on, as far as for Auburn basketball for this whole season.
They better get ready. because it's about to be airplanes going everywhere. Every arena we step in, airplanes going flying. And guess what? On the report, they're going to say about Auburn, they're going to say they don't like each other. But yeah. Every time they win, I know the team. They're going to do the airplane mode.
Oh, for sure. Look, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I mean, there's fights on foot. You're almost worried if your team doesn't get in a fight in the preseason, like especially in like football and things like that, because it's just so intense and you're just going up against the same guy over and over and over again. Like, this is probably something that happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago. This like finally this it just came to a head on the plane flight. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably something that brewed in camp and they haven't had a chance to just explode. They're good now. I think everybody's good now. Once you get the fight out, you're good to go. You know, so that's how you gel and get together. But no, I'm glad that it didn't become a distraction, because that's all we would have heard about if you know, you go over there and you get blown out after you just had, you know, that huge incident while you're on the way to Houston. But no, it was a lot of fun. It's been fun to watch Twitter react. It's been fun to watch everybody kind of have fun with it. The guys, like you said, celebrating, doing the airplanes. I'm sure we'll see that all year. But the bottom line is, you went in there, you took care of business. You went from number 11 in the AP all the way to number 5. And now you got two games. You got two games to get ready for Maui, where you're going to play a lot of the same level competition and have a chance to say, hey, it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't no flash in the pan. We're here to play. We're here to play some ball, and we're going to try to go home, go win this thing. So got a couple of questions for you. So Auburn plays Kent State, and then they play North Alabama. Kent State's 2-0. They won their first game against Louisiana, formerly Louisiana Lafayette, and then they beat the brakes off of this powerhouse Miami Hamilton University or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they're 2-0. They're coming in. Then you got UNA next week, who I think is 3-0. So you're playing some decent teams. I think I saw that Florida Atlantic is 2-0. Who's the first exhibition we played against? Furman's 2-3-0. Like, you've been playing some really good teams, but you got two games to get ready for Maui. So here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. What are you trying to achieve? Like, what do you think is the biggest thing they're going to be working on over the next two games, Kent State, UNA, to kind of get ready to prepare? What are the biggest things that you've seen? You've seen two games, you've seen two exhibitions, or we've talked about two exhibitions. What are the things that they need to be working on, polishing up, to get ready for this Maui trip?
Well, I think they'll be working on the lineups, on which lineups was it less effective out there against the Houston team. Plus, minus, those things are pretty serious. Like, I think we can get better in the point guard position. Because now they're going to be locked in on Tahad, and I just think we can get more into JP. You know, I just think he can play a better game. I think this week they'll be working with him. They'll be working with other guys that's less on the scouting report to get them to do more for the team, because we're going to need different guys to step up when we hit Maui, because they're going to be crucial. These games are okay games. But we're basically getting prepared for Maui, for those Iowa States, those North Carolinas, those Daytons, teams like that. So they got guys that they're going to key on, the Janai Brooms, the Tahad Pettifers, the Denver Jones, the Miles Kelly. As we watched the game against Houston, all you heard was Miles Kelly, Denver Jones, Janai Broome. Those were the key points to that game, which those guys probably Miles and Denver together probably had eight to nine points together.
Yeah.
So those teams did what they had to do with those guys. It's just the guys that they didn't look for in the scouting report that went off.
And honestly, Zep, there wasn't a scouting report on Tahad. There's not really a scouting report on him. So now that was one of the conversations I had that I'll be interested to see, because, hey, the secret's out. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a secret anymore. I'm sure Houston had a great plan for JP Pegues, had a great plan planning for Denver, like you said, Miles Kelly, but nobody really knew that Tejada was going to be so explosive when he got his chance to be run the point, you know, because the thought was he'd be a two guard a lot of times and then just kind of moonlight over there at the point. But I get, and so how does he react now that teams know they got to kind of key on him a little bit more? I'm very interested to see how that develops over the next two games. And then to your other point, is Tejada the number one point guard now, or is he still going to come off the bench? Like what happens there? I'm curious to see what happens there.
Well, I think Tejada will still come off the bench. I still think he'd be one of those microwave type guys to get the second group, get the energy going. But like you said, it's going to be pretty crucial on how he handled this situation going on out, because teams are going to be keying on him and they see what he can do. Yeah. It's really going to be on him on how smart can he play, because he never really been put in a situation like this. He's a freshman. So when you play against those big teams and you play against a team that have another strong defense, but they key on you, things get a little harder. But one thing I can say I was very proud of him about was him making key points in the game, was throwing assists to Jani Broome, hitting the open man. So he's going to be crucial of getting guys open because of his scoring ability.
I'm with you 100%. One thing I loved, Zep, when he got fouled there at the end, he sprinted to the free throw line. Said, give me them free throws. I want to put this thing away. And he had to have them. We had to have him hit at least one of them to seal that game, and he hit both. I thought that was great. But, yeah, the secret's out on Tejada. I'm with you. I think it's similar to kind of Wendell a little bit, where Wendell eventually kind of came off the bench. He was coming off the bench, and then, you know, he was kind of being the sixth man. Then he started, and then back and forth a little bit. I think I'm with you. I think he'll still kind of come off the bench a little bit until you just can't keep him off the court, I guess. But the secret's out. It's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of games. Kent State. Let's talk about Kent State. I mentioned they're 2-0. They haven't played. I mean, they had a good win to open the game. Then they had sort of like a patsy game two. What's your thoughts on them overall? I mean, I think they're a little bit of an older team. Is there anything tricky about this, or is it just more about yourself? Like, handle business, get it done, and then get out of there and move on to the next one.
I really don't think it's pretty tricky. I really think it's on the team of coming out, playing super hard, having two games under their belt, but you can't take this team lightly. This is a trap game, I believe, because, you know, we just got number 5, we was ranked number 11, we just beat a Houston team. Now it's about staying locked in and staying focused, because if you can't stay focused, this team will have life. Sure. This team is coming in like, okay, we playing a good Auburn team, but if they give us a little life, I think we can stick in, because they got like seven seniors and, you know, a couple younger guys, but that's, like you say, that's always crucial. And Auburn have to handle business with these next two games.
Yeah, they've got the ability to get hot from three. I think they shot plus 40%, 42% or something like that from three in the last game. And to me, that's always the equalizer. If you can shoot on the road, you can stay in game. So it'll be interesting to see how that closeout defense, how they guard those deep shots, because they like to shoot a lot of threes. Based off what I've seen, they're going to shoot close to 20 plus threes, 20 or more threes in a game, and give themselves a bunch of opportunities to try to stay in it with their shooting. So, again, I think it's more of a handle business. Don't get the big head, stuff like that, and just come in and finish the game off and then move on to UNA. When you guys had a really good game like that, when you had a really big win, what are some things, like, what does Bruce tell you after the game to kind of ground you? I think he said something. He made a hint. He's like, you wouldn't believe the things that I was telling Tejada this week, basically, to keep him off, to bring him down out of the clouds. Like, you wouldn't believe some of the things I was saying to him. So, like, what are some things that Bruce does, that Bruce says, just to kind of, let's just calm everybody down. Let's not think we've won the championship. We got 30 plus games to go. What are some things that Bruce really focuses on?
Well, BP is always one of those guys that, you know, even though they won the game, he was pretty happy that night. But once he land and get off the plane, the next day comes, he's going to tell the team, okay, we won this game, but that's only one game. Okay, we still have 20, 23 more games left. Let's see how we're going to be this next game. We have to humble ourselves and be able to be prepared for this next team, because this next team could be a tricky game. So he tells the guys, he actually tells them that they are nothing. Y'all are nothing. Just because y'all won, you are nothing.
Yeah.
But he still tells them that he wants them to play hard, you know, basically run his sets and, you know, just that whole week get prepared for the next team.
Yeah, my high school coach, my high school football coach, we were playing a team one time. We were playing a team one week, and they hadn't won a game in like 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he made us – we thought we were going to lose. We really did. We thought we were going to go into that game and we're going to lose. It's just y'all aren't practicing right. Y'all aren't doing that. Y'all aren't worth a crap, that kind of stuff. So I can see you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to do that a little bit to bring them down off their off the high of taking down Houston. Because, Zepp, you talked about it, man. That was – that game, you can't really you don't really understand how good that team was and how good of a defensive team they are. And Auburn shot like – scored on like 70% of their possessions in the second half, which is scored 46 points in the second half or something like that, which is unheard of against this team. It's going to be hard. Like the basketball folks know that the significance of that. So you got to do a really good job of keeping them down and keeping them grounded. So we'll see what happens. We got two games. We're going to do a post game show after tomorrow. Zepp, obviously, you're welcome to jump on. I'll be live. We'll have some fun, break down the game, talk some hoops afterwards, and then we'll do the same next week. And we'll have another show later this week. So it's been a lot of fun to talk about this team. It's going to be fun to watch this team grow throughout the season and see where they go. Let's see if this big commit hits Sebastian Williams-Adams this weekend. Obviously we're happy with the progress so far with this recruiting class, and we'll just kind of keep it going. So Zepp, tell them where they can find you. Tell them where they can love you and support you.
Twitter at RIP_QUAN12, Instagram RIP_QUAN5.
Give the man a follow. Really appreciate your time, Zepp, and we'll be back again later this week. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.